97.5, The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson, take you to 6 o'clock on this NBA draft day. 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tom Alvord producing and doing updates today. To the hard way on the show, on the interim show here this afternoon. 610-632-0975. Boy, am I excited. But I'm also nervous. And the word of the day today is where we start. And we start with it today. And it is suspense. Ooh. Suspense. We all know something's going to happen. We know that something's going to happen. But is it a good thing or a bad thing? Like the end of Get Out, where, oh, here comes the cop. Is the cop a good guy or a bad guy? Or any scary movie. There's suspense out there. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, the number I gave, which was 610-632-0975, we're not 100% sure whether or not that's going to work at the start of the program. So, if you'd like to talk to us, bear with us. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of me and Tom. So, and hey, that's what we get paid to do. So, just it could go either way. But, suspense. I can tell you right now what I hope happens. I hope the Sixers don't make a pick tonight in the draft. What I hope happens is, during this show, soon, there's some sort of trade, or during the draft, there is some sort of a trade in which they say drafted by the Sixers, but that player's not drafted by the Sixers. That player was drafted by a different team because the Sixers made a trade to help better the team right now. I think that if they don't make any other moves and they end up taking a player, some 19-year-old, whoever it might be, and they might be a swell basketball player, if, I truly believe this, if they draft a player tonight, that's not a good sign. Because that would mean that this roster now has a higher chance of coming back exactly the same. And that would not be good. That would not be good. In fact, that would be terrible. This team, we're going to disagree on a lot of things today. I'm 100% sure of it. But the one thing we can all agree on is, as is, this team is not good enough. And we all agree that the draft is a day where a lot of moves get made. Already, Jeremy Grant has been moved from the Pistons. The Lakers have acquired the 35th overall pick. Don't think that's a small trade for cash. That's something, getting a second-round pick, but you might get a first-round level player. Stuff is starting to happen. But nothing's happened with the Sixers. And the suspense, frankly, is killing me. All right. Another thing we will talk about is more and more people are resistant to one P.J. Tucker. And that's fine. But let me tell you, there's a lot of suspense. Because you know what people haven't said? A realistic alternative. And that's important. You see, there's this cliche that is actually true where they say there's no wrong answers in brainstorming. You know, you throw out ideas. Some are going to work. Some aren't going to work. That happens with brainstorming. But this is the day of the draft. The brainstorming is over. Everyone's had all this opportunity. I mean, just yesterday on a Twitter poll, 79% of people said, no. No P.J. Tucker. And that's fine if you have that opinion, I guess. You're allowed to have that opinion. But let me lay out the parameters. And I can't wait for people to give their alternative players. So here are the pros of P.J. Tucker. Just in case, you know, people don't know or they weren't watching the Sixers at the time. Here are the pros for P.J. Tucker. All right. A few things. He can make the open shot at better than 40% from three. All right, so whatever player you want other than P.J. Tucker has to check the 40% roughly from three-point box. So don't give me an athletic guy who's 25 years old who can dunk but can't shoot, because that's not what this team needs mostly. They can add that in addition to a wing who can make a three, not instead of. Number two, has to be able to defend multiple positions. And number three, had to, in their career, been proven to be able to help a playoff team or teams win. Now, the con of P.J. Tucker is he's old. So, and that has troubled a lot of people. And that's still the most prominent name out there for the Sixers to add to their roster. All right? The con, I admit, is he's old. I cannot pretend like he's young because he's not young. He's old. So, if you don't want P.J. Tucker, that is, of course, fine. But I ask you to find a free agent who can make 40% of his threes, can defend multiple positions, has helped teams win, and it must be for $10 million. Suggesting a max player would be maximum wrong because they can't just sign a max player. Sure, there are many younger players who can do what P.J. Tucker does, but can they do it for $10 million? That is the challenge today. And I am at the edge. I mean, let me move. I am literally at the edge of my seat waiting for these alternatives because we all want the same thing. We want the Sixers to get better and to win a championship. That's what we all want. And man, it's easy. It's the easiest thing in the world to say no to things. Trust me. I'm an expert at it. It's harder to say no, but how about we do this? Now, Matt, who works here at the station, did a fantastic job. I have an NBA free agency guide right here with every single restricted and unrestricted free agent. So the only thing this player has to be is available for $10 million, can make the three at 40%, can defend, and has helped a playoff team. Because I've already said this all week. I'm going to say it for the rest of my life. This team needs somebody who can help them this year. Not a maybe, not a perhaps, a sure thing. 610-632-0975. Now, Tom, you've heard the same things I've heard about P.J. Tucker's too old. But have you heard people making suggestions for realistic alternatives
to
P.J. Tucker?
I have not heard any of those, no.
Oh, you haven't heard it?
I haven't seen it on Twitter. Haven't heard a phone call. Haven't heard friends talking. I have not heard a better alternative, personally.
So you have heard people say they don't want P.J. Tucker.
Correct.
But you haven't heard people say, how about this? Why don't we sign this younger player who can do the stuff that P.J. Tucker does, but he's younger and the same price? You see, the price is part of the deal. $10 million in NBA money is not a lot of money. So you have to find a player in that price range as well. Another thing. I think what the star player wants is important in the NBA because my greatest fear is that after this season, if it is a failure, that Joel Embiid would rightfully ask to leave because his legacy will be at stake. Not winning a title will be it. He already hasn't won MVP. You already have people like Zach Lowe out there who hate Embiid's guts for whatever reason. This and this and this and this, but he's not this, this, that, and the other thing. The only thing that can solve that legacy issue is to win a championship. He's not going to do it here if they get this offseason wrong, because I think he's going to want to be gone. Now, for just to refresh everyone's memory real fast, Joel Embiid was asked about the Heat's toughness after game 6, in which he was playing with multiple injuries, and organically, he brought up P.J. Tucker. So, Tom, if you please, would you please play what Joel Embiid said after they lost to the Heat about P.J. Tucker?
You look at someone like P.J. Tucker, great player, but it's not about him knocking down shots. It's about what he does, you know, whether it's on the defensive end or, you know, rebounding the ball. You look at, obviously, defensively, plays with so much energy, believes that he can get from point A to point B, and he believes that no one can beat him, and he's tough. Like, he's just physical, and he's tough. And, you know, since I've been here, I'll be lying if I say that, you know, we've had, you know, those type of guys. We never have P.J. Tucker. That's really what I'm trying to say.
my takeaway should be it would be a bad idea to sign him. Okay, but you probably need to offer an alternative because it sounds to me like the best player on the team really likes PJ Tucker. Is that what you heard?
I have seen the quote a ton. I hadn't heard the quote since that happened. I forgot how in-depth he really... He was talking about PJ Tucker like it was a guy who had played with the Sixers for the last 3 years. But he talked about PJ Tucker more there than like any Sixers player that was here, it felt like. So yeah, I think if your star wants it, if PJ Tucker has a market and other people are willing to offer him the 3-year, $30 million, I think that's something that you have to do if you're Daryl Morey and the 76ers.
Now, what you could say is, hey, Joel, I heard your very detailed soliloquy about PJ Tucker. I heard it all. And I am ready to offer you something. Well, here's a player who makes the same three-pointers, has the same toughness, has helped other playoff teams win, and he'll be the same money, but he's 7 years younger, 5 years younger. But here's the problem. Nobody in this city has suggested that person. And the suspense is killing me. All right? So the word of the day is suspense. It's NBA draft day. I'm excited. I honestly think the future of the franchise will be decided in the next 8 hours. Somewhere between now, draft starts at 8-ish. They don't start it right on time. About 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, so let's say 7 hours. Because if nothing happens and they just draft a player that they're going to keep, not a great day for the Sixers. 610-632-0975. Elf, and one other thing, we're going to talk to Paul Hudrick from Liberty Ballers at 3 o'clock. Coach Jim Lynham at 4:30. I missed the coach. I haven't seen him since. Embiid made those comments, in fact. It's been a while. I don't like going that long without seeing the coach, learning about the game. So I'll ask him about a few of these things. 610-632-0975. Word of day is suspense. Something's going to happen today. We just don't know what it is. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
It is NBA draft day, but me personally, I hope the Sixers do not make a pick for themselves in this draft. But I'll find out from Liberty Ballers, Mr. Paul Hudrick on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing great, Tyrone. Ready for this night. A lot leading up to it, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. So I just stated, I would prefer if the Sixers ended up not drafting a player and trade the pick, because I think they badly need a player who can help them now. Is that a sane opinion, Paul?
Certainly. If that trade is out there, is what I would say, because you don't want to just go in blindly saying, like, we have to trade pick 23 because we have to get a veteran player. It has to be a veteran player that's worth that pick. And all the Sixers have to do is look at their recent history with picks. And, you know, Tyrese Maxey, only a couple years ago, pick 21 slipped to them in the draft. First of all, I don't think anyone expected him to be this good, especially this quickly. So you don't want to pass up an opportunity to draft a player of that ilk because you might have been a little antsy looking for a wing player, a veteran, whatever, that could help you. So I would say it's certainly, if there is a deal to be made that you can get a playoff rotation worthy wing that could, you know, help your team win now, certainly that's something that I think Daryl Morey and the Sixers are going to explore heavily. But at the same time, if that guy isn't there, then, you know, maybe you just look down your draft board, take the best player available, and then kind of figure it out from there.
So do you think, realistically, at 23, there's a playoff ready? There would be more pressure on this rookie than there was on Maxey because Simmons was still here. So he didn't have to be the primary ball handler for a team when he came in. Is there a realistic player that could be available at 23 that could actually help him in the 2022-2023 season in the playoffs this year?
It's so hard to say because you don't know until you get there, right? I mean, like I said, I mean, Tyrese Maxey is, as a 19-year-old, I did not expect him to be in the rotation. I certainly didn't expect him to basically win them a playoff game, game six in Atlanta. He was spectacular in that game. No one sees these things coming. And then, with Jaden Springer, obviously, it's the other end of the spectrum where he wasn't ready for NBA action. He was, I think, believed the youngest player in the NBA last year, and he wasn't ready to play. So you don't know what you're getting. Is there a guy that could? Maybe. With 23, it's a roll of the dice. There might be a guy. I've seen a name that's been trendy. Wake Forest's Jake Laravia. I mean, he's long. He's got experience. He can hit it. He can hit an open shot and kind of do a little bit of everything. Defends at a pretty decent level. You look at a guy like a Marjon Vucamp from the G League. He's a little bit more raw, but he's a little older and more mature. He's already got an NBA body. Maybe he can help you right now. The guy I love is Dalen Terry from Arizona, who's young. He's only 19. He'll be 20, I believe, in July. But, again, a guy who can just do everything and just knows how to play the game of basketball. Like, he's got such good feel for a young player that it's not crazy to think that maybe Doc Rivers could be enticed to play him. Now, that's another big obstacle that maybe, we'll touch on down the road. But, Doc does have a propensity to ride older players, so you're going to have a Maxey-level impact for him to trust you and to be able to play you as a rookie.
Right, and that is my concern. Now, P.J. Tucker, I want to bring him up because you've heard the rumors, Paul. I know. Now, I know they're not putting all their eggs in one basket. You reported that. You're hearing other things. All the people are saying that they've already made a 3-year, $30 million offer, basically. Either way, there's three things that he has going for him that I like, and then there's one thing that I don't like. Obviously, he made better than 40% from three. He can defend. And he's helped playoff teams win. The con is that he's old. Many people think perhaps he's too old to sign. The problem is, I didn't say, is there a younger player out there that you can get for $10 million who can make 40% of his threes, defend, and could help a team in the playoffs or has demonstrated that? That's where I'm stuck. I don't see another guy younger who the Sixers could realistically get in free agency, at least with that mid-level exception. Number one, would you like P.J. Tucker? And number two, do you think there's a real, realistic possibility of a younger player who does the same things that he does?
I love P.J. Tucker. I think the biggest thing you touched on, this guy's a winning basketball player. And it's not, look, the last 2 years, obviously, the Bucks don't win a championship without him. The Miami Heat, you could argue he was their third best player at 36 years old on a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I love his game. And Tyron, I think, too, he's a little underrated as far as he's not just 3-and-D. I mean, he's got, like he's not a guy you want to run offense around or anything like that, but he can attack an aggressive closeout, get to the rim. He's got a little floater game. He's got touch around the rim. Offensive rebounding. You saw how he killed the Sixers in that regard. Imagine flipping the script in that Miami series. You put P.J. Tucker on the Sixers instead, and that series might go a different way. And, he's playoff proven. To me, the age, it is, like you said, the only con is the age. If he was 27, he'd be getting offered $15 to $20 million, and for like 4 or 5 years, if he were 10 years younger. But as far as like a younger guy, I mean, listen, I like Gary Harris a lot. He's a pretty darn good player, and could he help the Sixers? Yeah, possibly. But to the point you made earlier, I don't know that Gary Harris is going to be the guy that's going to come in here and kind of elevate this team. And plus, I think familiarity matters when you're talking about James Harden and making him a little bit more comfortable and getting a guy like P.J. Tucker that really knows James's strengths and knows how to play around him. And then I think another thing that people are overlooking, Ty, is Joel Embiid publicly came out and said, we need a guy like P.J. Tucker. Well, there's no guy more like P.J. Tucker than P.J. Tucker. So I would, if my franchise player wants him, that's a guy I'm going to try really, really hard to get.
Yes, in fact, here's a little bit of audio, Paul. You were there at the press conference when this initially was said. Just to refresh everybody's memory, this is what Joel Embiid, when he was asked about the toughness, that was the question. Here's his answer when they asked about were the Heat tougher, and Embiid just took it from there.
You look at someone like P.J. Tucker, great player, but it's not about him knocking down shots. It's about what he does. you know, whether it's on the defensive end or, you know, rebounding the ball. You look at, obviously, defensively, plays with so much energy, believes that he can get from point A to point B, and he believes that no one can beat him, and he's tough. Like, he's just physical, and he's tough. And, you know, since I've been here, I'll be lying if I say that, you know, we've had, you know, those type of guys. We never have PJ Tucker. That's really what I'm trying to say.
So to your point, Paul, it's pretty clear that the best player on the team is a PJ Tucker fan.
100%. And for the reasons that you all said, he's right. It's like, I don't think the Sixers have had enough guys like that. When you're talking about physicality, when you're talking about mental toughness, when you're talking about just knowing how to play the game the right way. Like, it sounds like such a simple, dumb thing, but like, guys with like basketball IQ that know, and like the thing I maybe like most about PJ Tucker, he is a star in his role. He knows what his role is. He doesn't try to do anything outside of that. And again, just the more, like, you need guys like that on championship caliber basketball teams. So when I hear people kind of, you know, poo-pooing this or saying that they don't want PJ Tucker, I don't think they watched that series against Miami, and I don't think they watched the Bucks championship run last year if they really don't want PJ Tucker.
I completely agree with you. It's unfortunate. Now, one of the alternatives, Paul, I want to ask you about is Thybulle. Now, I have a couple issues with Thybulle coming back as the starting small forward on this team. Number one is the lack of shooting ability. We've seen it. You've pointed out at Liberty Ballers, where you do a great job, obviously, how at times his man's leaving and they're double-teaming Joel Embiid on the catch because they don't respect his shot. And the other thing I question, and I'm not asking you to question, is I question his commitment to being all in to help this team win over anything else. So for me, it's a non-starter to come back with him as the three-man. Would you be comfortable with Thybulle being the game one starting small forward on his team based on what you've seen of his career up until this point?
The simple answer is no, but I'm also, I don't know if it's quite that black and white. It kind of goes back to what I talked about with the draft pick, right? Like, I don't want to trade Matisse Thybulle just to trade him. Like, he's still a good enough basketball player on the defensive end. The guy's made the all defensive team two times over. And I think the Sixers, you know, for people I've talked to, they view it the same way. Like, if there is something there that can improve their team now, like you said, if there is a chance to get a player that maybe fits that role better, that's more like a Danny Green type, who is more, you know, is more balanced as far as that 3-and-D aspect goes, where maybe they're not as good as Thybulle defensively, but they're pretty darn good, but they can add a lot more offensively. If there's an opportunity to get a player like that in exchange for Thybulle, sure, I think the Sixers would be very open to that. But you can't just give him away. I think that would be a mistake. And as far as him starting next year, yeah, I mean, he has to make some serious improvements to his game. The shot is the most obvious and easiest way for him to kind of improve and kind of help, you know, Joel Embiid and James Harden and you know, get the double teams away from those two guys. But the other thing, I look at a guy like Gary Payton II with the Warriors, and the guy nails corner threes, he's an outstanding cutter, and he finishes at the rim. And that's one thing I think that's a big flaw in Thybulle's game, is when he gets those, possessions where he's in the dunker spot or whatever, and he's got a shot at the rim, he has to complete those plays, or else the defense is not going to respect him. They're going to keep doubling Joel Embiid, and it's just going to make basically the Sixers playing 4-on-5 every offensive possession.
Yes, and that is my fear. And again, I'm not worried about bringing him back, although I would prefer to not. I feel like if he's the starter, a small forward next year, I already know how the season's going to end, unfortunately. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I have great fear about this team ending up in purgatory once again around an even better player in Joel Embiid. And I think he would be part of the problem and not the solution based on his play up until this point. And that's my greatest fear, not him being around. But if he's still the starter, that means they probably didn't have the offseason they were looking to have.
Sure. Well, I think on it, like if you are buying the PJ Tucker hype right now that they're going to bring in PJ Tucker, I imagine he's in the starting lineup, right? So you're looking at Harden, Maxey, Tucker, Harris, Embiid. That's probably your starting five if you're looking at it right now. So I mean, I would think that then Thybulle again becomes more of a bench, you know, in more of a bench role, and he's going to have to earn minutes. Like, to your point, Ty, he's going to have to show some offensive improvement if he wants to stay in the playoff rotation, because that's what it is. During the regular season, he shows flashes. Even with James Harden, when he first got here, you saw some chemistry with Matisse as kind of a screener and a roller and doing, again, some of those things that we see Gary Payton II do in Golden State, which is surrounded by so much talent. So if Matisse can just do that, yeah, like maybe he's not a starting caliber player, but perhaps he can be a very useful bench piece and be part of that playoff rotation, and Doc Rivers can feel comfortable maybe stretching him out a little bit more.
Yes, well, Paul, thanks so much for the time. As always, really, really appreciate it. Let's hope that today's a good day for the Sixers.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's either going to be, really wild or maybe kind of tame, but either way, I think something's going to happen that's going to spark a reaction from the Sixers fan, I'm sure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much. That was Paul Hudrick from Liberty Ballers on the Comcast Business Hotline.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
And now it is time for Tom to go around the world, span the globe, and have what's trending with Tom. What do you have today, Tom?
Yes. So, got some fun stories today. We are going to start this one. Not really too fun. This is kind of weird, actually. Amazon announced that Amazon Alexa might soon be able to replicate the voice of family members, even if they are no longer with us, even if they are dead. They are in development and would allow virtual assistant, that is the Amazon Alexa, to mimic the voice of a specific person based on less than a minute of pre-recording. The desire behind the feature is to build a greater trust in the interactions users will have with Alexa, putting more human attributes of empathy in effect. And attributes are more important now during the pandemic when so many loved ones are lost. The video that Amazon released, I think it was at their trial run or whatever, had a young child asking, can grandma finish reading Wizard of Oz? Grandma, who was not with her anymore. While AI can't eliminate the pain of loss, it can make memories last. This sparks concerns with privacy and ethical issues about consent. Thoughts on hearing your dead relative talk to you through Amazon?
Listen, they already privacy. Your phone's already listening to you anyway. Instagram, all of them. You say, you talk about this, there's going to be some funeral home on my phone on Instagram on the ads during the next commercial break. That part, fine. It's horrendous. This is horrible.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I have the last voicemail that my grandmother left me before she passed away in 2019. And it's more than 1 minute.
So that would qualify.
And then that Booty's right. How do you teach kids about loss? Grandmoms lives in Alexa. They'll really think that.
That's a good point,
actually.
Like,
that's the tough thing. When kids are little, you don't really fully understand it.
Sure.
That it's like forever.
Yes.
This is horrible. Like, I don't have any, I don't think I have any voicemails from my mom, but I'm sure I can find an old tape or something or some kind of thing. No. This is terrible.
Yeah, like old tapes are cool. Like you said, the voicemails of loved ones.
I'm saying I could use that. And then I can have, I don't want my grandma to be Alexa.
Yeah, but to hear them all the time, saying things
weather
all the time.
And lights and stuff.
Nah. I don't need my grandmother who passed away telling me the weather.
Square root of 1 million?
That's weird, man.
I'm out.
I don't understand
it
that at
exist.
All. Yeah, I agree. So, but Amazon, they're going to do whatever they can to try and develop. And I don't know. This is so weird to me. Another one here. The FDA has ordered Juul, the popular vape cigarette thing, non-real cigarette, to stop selling e-cigarettes and remove them from the market immediately. The agency, FDA, has ruled against companies' application to stay on the U.S. market. Order affects all Juul products. The company Juul plans to appeal the agency's decision. Critics blame Juul for targeting teens, which lead to rise in youth vaping. Others say on Twitter and out there that they wouldn't have been able to stop smoking cigarettes without Juul. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, they only banned Juul, though. There's other vapes that they didn't ban.
Other options, correct.
Well, why did they only pick them?
There's other options out there. You're right. Maybe
that's my beef with it.
Yeah.
Also, now, I've heard that vape has led to people quitting smoking. And I know people who vape like they're casual. I mean, they might vape all the time. They don't have to talk about it.
Sure.
Have you ever met the person who wants to talk about vaping?
Yeah, yes.
I don't like any of those
people. No, not usually.
Me, it's unanimously. You, it's not usually. If you're just like, yeah, man, you know, vaping and blah, 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 they go on and on about vaping, lame person.
Just out, yeah.
Yeah, like I start to judge things anymore by this edict. Will I ever have a positive interaction with this human being? If the answer is yes, compassion and kindness. If the answer is no, let's just move on.
Yeah.
When you're always talking about vaping, yeah, I'm out. We're never going to have a positive interaction.
Yeah.
I think it's odd that they banned one kind of vape.
Yeah, not all of them.
It kind of feels like they were like just mad at this company.
And people are arguing, what about cigarettes? Why aren't we banning cigarettes if we're banning Juuls? And it's just there's so much controversy.
Well, cigarette lobby, most likely. I mean, that's the tough part. Yeah, big cigarette, just like big hot dog.
Big hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, big tobacco and all that stuff. Yeah, my point is, it's weird that, so the Juul's gone, but they can use the Juul adjacent one.
Like the off-brand Juul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they're all at the gas stations.
It is.
Every one of them.
An epidemic right now, though. Like, you see kids under 20 years old, they're just stuck to the lip. That's what it is at this point. It's crazy.
They're vaping 100 miles per hour. I mean, you do see less people smoking cigarettes.
Sure.
But some people think the vape is worse because it gets deeper into the lungs.
Yes, correct.
So I don't know.
And those flavors and stuff, people aren't like, sure about them.
It's grape death.
Yeah.
Oh, this is cherry death.
It's a different type of death. Yeah. Yeah. Last one. Brad Pitt says his acting career is on its last leg. The 58-year-old actor says that he is about ready to retire from acting. He won an Oscar in 2020 for his role, supporting role, in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's in other big movies like Fight Club, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, 13, 7, Fury, Troy, and Glorious Bastards. The guy has 2 Academy Awards, 2 Golden Globes, a Primetime Emmy, net worth of $300 million. Will you miss Brad Pitt?
Yes, I'm a big Brad Pitt fan.
Me too.
All right, I'm a big Brad Pitt fan. It'll hurt me maybe the most.
Is that right?
Yeah, it hurts me maybe the most.
You like him that much.
I'm a big fan of Brad Pitt.
I think he does a great job.
I think he does a fabulous job all the time. The other part that I thought he got a raw deal was with the divorce with Angelina Jolie, where she claimed that he was being too hard on the kids. So let me get this straight. They didn't believe in nannies and stuff, so they have to take turns doing movies. And you're watching 7 kids? Now, Booney grew up in a house with a lot of kids. He has a lot of siblings. Now, I was only 1 of 3. Still, my parents didn't... What Angelina Jolie would consider that abuse, because they did a lot of yelling at times. There had to be, when we're running around, some sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
And apparently she didn't like that he would tell 7 kids to sit down and shut up. And that was abuse to her. Well, what was he supposed to do? That's a lot of kids and no help. And she's out filming a movie and he's got 7 kids by himself. I think sit down and shut up probably is necessary with that many kids running around.
I would agree with that as well. And that's old school parenting type that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Not going to kill you. You got to go sit down somewhere. I cannot deal with all these kids bouncing 7 kids.
A lot of these kids need a voice to be raised to them.
Come on.
At this point.
He wasn't hitting them.
No.
Listen, whatever you think about that, I'm saying he was yelling at him. He was abusive. It's 7 of them. He's outnumbered. He's outmanned.
Kind, cool, and collected really isn't going to do much to 7 kids.
And apparently they're acting up on a plane?
Nah.
7 kids acting up on a plane?
That would not have happened if I was that child.
He had to do what he had to do. And he didn't. Don't worry. He didn't put anybody in a hospital. Like there's no, iron and, iron cords.
The belts and all that stuff.
No, it wasn't all that.
Yeah.
Apparently she just didn't like he was yelling.
Sound like a
great guy to me.
I don't understand that.
Hey, that was what's trending with Tom. Like, I can only imagine the things that Booty's parents wanted to say when he's 1 of 1,000. And they're all different ages and running around.
Is that what it is, 1,000 siblings?
It's like 1 of 1,000. Booty was like kid 990 out of 1,000.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot of kids out there at Delco.
That's his mother.
All right. 610-632-0975.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Well, this guy on the line was a GM, was a coach, does a great job on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I miss watching games with him on the Comcast Business Hotline, Coach Jim Lidham. How are you today, Coach?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Coach. So first things first, the last time I saw you, the Sixers lose to Miami, and it's clear the roster's not good enough as is. Now we're starting to hear a lot of different rumors, including P.J. Tucker. Let's just ask you this just to start with. Despite his advanced age, do you think P.J. Tucker, if they don't have to give up anything to get him, could help this Sixers team?
In the simple answer, Ty, yes. I like Tucker. He's a hard-nosed guy. As everybody knows, he can, you know, make a spot-up corner three. But he brings a certain intangible. He's a good defender. He's one of those kind of guys. He has a little Draymond Green in him. You know, he knows how to not just defend, but he knows how to bother people. He's a seasoned pro. He would be an asset, but I can't ignore the first part of your statement. He is 37 years old, so I'd be a little reluctant to a long-term contract, meaning 3 years. That's a little long for me.
But if the question is, Coach, then, get him at 3 years, or Miami or Atlanta gets him at 3 years, at that point, would you make the sacrifice, or would you draw a hard line at 2 years?
Yeah, that's a fair question. These are the kind of decisions, you know, guys get paid serious money to make. I think it's going to depend on the rest of your roster. And are you willing to put yourself in a possible hole for obvious financial reasons a couple of years down the line? For me, if you're going for a legitimate shot at a title, the answer is a simple yes. But I'd have to have, you know, pretty strong feelings that my team's a real legitimate contender.
All right. Now, with that said, part of the reason why there's that interest there is because Joel Embiid's a big fan, and also because Thibault has not taken the steps offensively that many hoped that he would. And at times in the playoffs, I mean, you saw it, Coach, I was watching it with you. At times he became unplayable, and he was down to basically 15 minutes a game due to that. Do you think there's still realistic hope that that Thibault's offense can get to what it needs to be a consistent playoff NBA starter?
Ty, I do, because I think the whole pandemic situation with Matisse and this took place up in, you know, regarding Toronto, him not being vaccinated, I think it played with his head. And I don't think he was the same player going forward, you know, when in fact he came back. We know he wasn't able to play in those games. And, I just think the reaction of the whole basketball community, media, fans, I don't think he was ready for it. And I think he took a big step back as a result. Now, assuming he can put that aside and go forward with a fresh mind, that's why I say yes to your question. And I think he's at a point in his career. If you can't say yes to your question, then it's time to move on.
And that's the part that I guess that's be part of the decision making. That'll be part of the decision coming up soon. Now, the rumor is from all the national people are the Sixers have shopped him and that 23rd overall pick basically to every team in the league looking to try to get a player who can help them now versus another young player. You know as well as anybody how much of a crapshoot the draft is. For every Maxi you can get a Korkmaz who didn't fully develop, TLC. We can name all the Sixers players that never became what we thought they could become. If it was just up to you, Coach, and you was either pick a player at 23rd overall or get a veteran player who can help you now, what would you prefer?
Yeah, if you're a coach, Ty, the answer is simple. You would prefer the veteran player for the reasons that you just, I think, accurately pointed out. Yes, you can get a Maxi, but that's a long shot. It just simply doesn't happen. You can go over the list of the draft, you know, historically year after year, and players, you know, down the line, the percentage of them that turn into really significant contributors on the line that Maxey has already done, and who knows where he's headed, you don't get them. So if, in fact, they could package, I would fully endorse that.
All right. Now, you just brought up Maxey again, and I wanted to ask you about him. There's been tape. We know he's a hard worker. We know how mentally tough he is. Recently, a video came out. Now, a lot of NBA players can do this, but people get excited. He makes 14 straight corner threes. You saw the jump that he made from year one to year two as far as shooting. What are the areas that you would like to see him improve, part one of the question, and then part two of the question, just how high is his ceiling after you pretty much watch every game for his first two seasons?
Yeah, I think, let me go to your second thought first. I don't know that you can put a ceiling on him, given what we saw. You know, you're reluctant with a young player to, like, draw bottom-line conclusions, you know, based on what I call outbursts. But I'm going to make the statement now, because we see these outbursts from him too consistently. By the end of the year, he's the number three, I'll repeat, number three, three-point shooter in terms of percentage in the league. And this is a guy who supposedly coming out of Kentucky fell in the draft because he wasn't able to shoot the ball. So we can dispel that myth. His worth ethic is such that he's developed beyond one's possible expectations. So I think literally the ceiling is the limit for him. And in terms of, you know, what would you like to see him be able to do on a consistent basis, I think really that ball is in the sixer court type. A lot of times players are like, they'll respond if they're good enough to what the expectations are of the team are. So my question, I throw it back to the Sixers. Who do you want this guy to be? Do you want this guy to be a 20-point scorer right now? Do you want him to have more shooting opportunities than James Harden and James be more the facilitator? I think he's capable of being a 20-point scorer. I think he's shown the early signs that we've seen, and that would be the next step for him, to be a more consistent scorer as opposed to that guy who just explodes for 14 points in the third period.
Talking to Coach Jim Lynam from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Coach, one of the players that takes maybe too much scrutiny here, and there's been rumors all offseason that perhaps he'd be moved if they were to land a big fish, mainly because he has a max contract attached to him, and that is Tobias Harris. I think everyone agrees that he was pretty good in the playoffs, but if a big fish became available, a guy you find out, Bradley Beal, for example, Kevin Durant, to be a no-brainer, would you feel comfortable moving on from Tobias Harris, even though we don't necessarily want to, just because his contract may be forced, or is he a 100% keeper in your eyes?
No, I would say the former, and I like Tobias. I think you know that. You and I have talked mm-hmm. about him on numerous occasions. As long as you have him in the right role, you're not asking him to do like be the high scorer on your team or get you like 24 points a night. I think you're dead on that he had a terrific playoff. But if in fact the Sixers brain trust, and in saying that the coaches usually are very involved in those type decisions, if they think there is another player, I'm not championing Bradley Beal per se, but that type of guy, is a better fit, let's say, for James Harden and Joel Embiid, then of course I would endorse a trade like that. But Kai, I think what happens this time of year, and rightly so, I understand that, you know, there's a lot of focus on what I call the periphery. This team is going as far as a healthy Joel Embiid and a 33-year-old James Harden are going to take them. Make no bones about that.
Right, and that was actually the next thing. I only have two questions left, and one of them is about James Harden. Coach, in your opinion, is the guy we saw down the stretch where he oddly in that game six in the second half only took two shots, and I remember a couple times you yelling, I'm in front of you, you're yelling, I turn around, you're yelling, shoot that. You got to take that shot. And he just seemed very gun-shy for whatever reason. Is that the best James Harden, or could an offseason in which he's not rehabbing any injuries, not having any surgery, have we seen the best of them, or is there still a little juice left, elite juice left in that orange, in that apple, et cetera?
Yeah, well, you and I can only, like, surmise, Ty, but I'm going to say this. If Daryl Morey, he has no choice if James is in control of opting in for 1 year. But if the Sixers deem that they're going to extend James for 2 years, that I have to assume that the answer to your question is yes, that they feel that. And that's the most important thing, not what you or I feel. But my eye tells me, yes, that there is more than what we saw. It's a little inexplicable to me. I have to say this. We're talking a guy who led this league in scoring on more than one occasion. And for a guy like that to say, I don't quite feel, I don't have to score in this game tonight, or I'm not going to look for my shot. That is the polar opposite mindset of what guys who lead the league in scoring have. So you have to ask yourself, why would that be the case? Why would he not look to score? Harden is a bright guy. He's played at the highest level. The only answer to for me is he didn't feel confident he could score. It's the only reason. So if the Sixers are going to sign him, they feel there's a lot more there than what we saw, for whatever reason, in those playoff games.
And the last thing I want to ask you about, Coach, assuming they can't make a move and they're drafting at 23 overall, what's the type player? I'm not even going to ask you for a name because there's no telling who's going to be available. Drafts are very unpredictable. What type of player would you like to see? A wing, a backup point guard, a shooting guard? Is there any position, if it was up to you, a crystal ball, if you could make a wish, what type of player would you like them to draft if they keep the pick?
A fair question, Ty, and I'm going to say this, and again, you know my feelings on this. I realize the Harden trade to acquire James, I thought, was a very good move on Maury's part. Obviously, he knows James better than all the rest of us put together. However, the price that they paid for me was a bit steep. And what it served to do going into the playoffs, it decimated their bench. They need quality play off their bench. They did not have that in the playoffs. So to me, it's not so much about like who, what type of player, a backup to a 3-and-D guy. You need a guy that can come out there and give you a high level, like 20-minute play in the late stages of the season. I'm talking playoff time in late May into June when the real teams are still playing.
Yeah, we'll see if there's a guy like that available. It's going to be an interesting night, Coach. I greatly appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, Ty. Anytime, buddy.
All right, thanks so much. That was Coach Jim Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.